Chapter 15.
Explain this to me again,
Leah mumbled as we shuffled around Ada's nightclub and gathered up supplies for our final battle with the Shadow Man.
We get the Shadow Man to come after us, and then you use your special new eye magic to see his true form, but we can't see him at all?
You'll see him, but once I use my revealing eye enchantment, I'll be the only one who can see him in his true form. You guys will apparently just see him as whatever the fuck form he wants you to see.
That sounds confusing,
the polywarm woman said with a frown. It will be. You guys will still be able to attack the fucker, but I'm gonna have to be the one to deliver the killing blow.
So if he's showing up to us as different entities, how will that work?
Janine pondered as she stroked her chin.
Like, if he's a creepy kid again to us, but a giant crocodile to you, can he still hit us with his tail or multiply into different forms to attack you like he did last time?
Honestly? I have no fucking clue. I kind of got woken up before Bast could give me all the details.
Sorry about that.
All I know is Bast claims that by using this spell, I can hold Kekuatu in his true form, and I can kill him once and for all. The trickiest part is going to be forcing ourselves to fall asleep in the middle of the day.
Not with that attitude, it's not. We're in a club, Carter. We could just smash a few bottles of Johnny Walker until we get so wasted we pass out.
Not a bad idea, I said with a half smirk. I wonder if our drunkenness would transfer over to the other plane of existence, though. The last thing we want is to try and fight the Shadow Man while trashed.
We could go and find Professor Versailles,
Leah suggested with a waggle of her eyebrows.
That man's lectures always put me right to sleep, and that's coming from somebody who loves environmental science.
I doubt he'd give us an impromptu lecture,
Janine said with a frown.
I wouldn't be too sure about that.
The polywarm woman scoffed.
I have never seen a person so interested in the food web of invertebrates before. I'm kind of wondering if he's got a shit ton of dead bugs on display all throughout his house. Shit, he may even be one of those people who eats bugs because they're natural and all that. I bet he'd love to sit us down and talk all about his wonderful discoveries.
That'd take too long, though I appreciate the thought.
What's your plan, then? Because I don't know any sort of sleeping spells.
Really? I teased the witch with a sarcastic wink. Well, damn, there goes the entire plan. Back to the drawing board.
Oh, har har.
The woman's dark lips twisted into a scowl, and she stuck her tongue out at me. Seriously, though, I figured we could just run to the drug...
Carter!
Janine gasped.
I don't know if I'm willing to go that far. Like, I'm all for trying new things now that I'm starting to break out of my shell, but drugs? I'm not sure if I'm ready to cross that line.
Melatonin. I finished. Go to the drugstore and buy melatonin. Two or three of those pills will knock us out like we've been tranquilized.
Oh.
The redhead giggled as a slight blush crept up into her face.
I thought that was going in a completely different direction.
Again, I said with a smirk. We don't want to fight Kekuatu intoxicated. So the hardest thing I'm willing to do are some herbal supplements.
I can get those,
Leah offered.
There's a drugstore just a few blocks away, right?
Let me go with you, love. It may be the middle of the day, but this is still somewhat a sketchy area, and a hot, blonde college girl like yourself walking around all alone, not on my watch.
So, now there's going to be two hot women walking around alone. I think that'll draw even more attention.
Oh, please.
The succubus rolled her eyes as she placed an arm around her friend, and then extended her fingers so her claws were on full display.
If any creep tries to come after us, I'll castrate him, the old-fashioned way. Now let's go. I would like this whole endeavor to be done before we open tonight.
I would like it to be done fast, too, but I had a sneaking suspicion it was a lot easier said than done. Leah and Ada strutted toward the exit of the nightclub, which left Naomi, Janine, and I all alone to discuss battle strategies. Bast said Kekuatu has really tough skin. Her werepanther bodyguards claimed it was like chewing on old leather.
Hold on,
Janine interjected with wide eyes.
Werepanther bodyguards?
Yeah, Kosi and Karim. I met them when I was in my vision.
Interesting.
The redhead nodded.
None of the texts I've read have mentioned anything about Bast having bodyguards.
Well, I saw them with my own two eyes. I shrugged. And they said they fought Kekuatu before and that his skin was nearly impossible to get through.
Nothing is impossible to get through. Especially when there are plenty of spots of soft flesh of the body to go after.
Exactly.
Janine agreed.
His eyes, ears, nostrils, throat would all be soft spots on his body that wouldn't be covered by the protective flesh.
That we know of. For all we know, this dude could be nothing but a faceless tank covered by an impenetrable scaly hide. He is a being from the netherworld, after all.
You told us Bast referred to his jaws, right?
Janine asked, and I gave her a nod.
If he has jaws, then he has a mouth,
which means there will be soft flesh somewhere on his body to attack.
Or you could just hit him really, really hard,
Naomi suggested.
Surely his skin can't handle razor-sharp claws stabbing into him at 100 miles an hour, can it?
That's actually not a bad idea. You know about X-Men? We could totally pull off a speedball special using your magic.
I'm familiar with the movies.
Naomi raised an eyebrow.
But I'm not sure what that is.
Well, that's because you're only a fan of the movies. It happens in the comics and video games all the time. When one of the super strong X-Men picks up Wolverine and then launches him at an enemy like a human cannonball.
Sounds badass.
Naomi smirked. It is, which is why I totally think we should try it.
And if that doesn't work?
Then we'll just have to keep trying new things over and over until we figure it out. The Ancient Ones and their scrolls seemed to know he could be defeated, and... Oh, shit! Janine, what did Dr. Hansen say? I got so caught up in the whole tripping and talking to a goddess thing, I forgot that's where you guys went.
He didn't have much to say, unfortunately.
The redhead shrugged.
Only that the Ancient Ones had knowledge beyond any beings he'd ever seen before, and he was discovering all sorts of new cryptids through their writings. He said there was a reference to Kekuatu, but it was just something written by Kek that talked about how great of a servant he was.
A wave of panic suddenly hit me. Even though we'd talked about Kekuatu extensively, I hadn't stopped to think about his relationship with Kek. If I really ended up killing an ancient god's most beloved servant, surely the god of chaos would notice. And if that happened, we would have a second god who wanted us dead. I couldn't dwell on it for too long, though, because we literally had no other choice. The Shadow Man was going to keep coming after me and my friends until he either killed us or we killed him, and I definitely wasn't going to let him hurt any of my women. I wonder how many other servants Kek has, and if we'll have to worry about them in the future.
Maybe,
Janine said in a somber tone.
Though from all accounts I've heard, Kekuatu is the strongest of the bunch.
See?
Naomi said as she slapped my arm playfully.
We'll be killing the most powerful of his servants first, so we won't have anything to worry about.
Strongest.
Janine corrected.
We're killing the strongest of his servants first, not necessarily the most powerful.
What's the difference?
I don't know how to explain it any better. Strength is measurable by how much you can lift and how hard you can punch. Power can come in many, many different forms.
That's still a plus. If we can take out the biggest physical threat to our existences, then that's still one less paranormal creature that will come after us down the road. That's always a good thing.
And you'll get a new power from killing him, right?
I think so. I half stated, half questioned. I mean, Bast gave me a new power herself when I talked to her, but I don't know if that, like, negates me getting my next power or anything. I really should have asked how my skill tree works.
That's why I prefer self-taught magic.
Naomi winked.
The powers I unlock are limited only by my own imagination and determination to study.
Not quite.
Janine mused.
There are still plenty of limits to your magic due to the fact you're just a regular human.
Just?
Naomi scoffed.
I'm a frickin' sister of the new moon, Janine. We're our own breed of woman.
She could say that again. I'd never met any woman quite like Naomi before, with her macabre sense of humor, love of horror movies, and an intense sense of pride in her magical abilities. Sure, there were plenty of goth girls who claimed to have the same type of personality, but there was something special about this one. Naomi didn't just talk the talk, she walked the fucking walk, and she owned it. It doesn't matter if I double up on my powers or not. I shook my head. I've got the Revealing Eye enchantment right now, and that's all we'll need to kill this asshole.
Where are we going to do it?
Janine!
Naomi teased.
Haven't you had enough of Carter for the day? I could never have enough of Carter.
The redhead giggled as her face turned as red as her hair.
But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm asking where we're going to make ourselves fall asleep.
Why does that matter?
The witch raised an eyebrow.
The Shadow Man is going to attack us no matter where we are.
It matters quite a bit,
Janine said with a scowl.
If we're out in an empty field, then we would fight him in an empty field. If we're sleeping in the bedroom again, then the site of our final battle would be right there in our bedroom, with all the spatial constraints that come along with that.
Actually, I trailed off as the gears in my mind started to turn. You're onto something there. We don't want to just fight him here in the club.
Why not? It's not like the stuff we destroy on the other plane of existence gets destroyed in our world. We could theoretically bring down this entire building on the Shadow Man, set it on fire, and then it'd be still here when we woke up.
That's just the point, though. If we can use items in that world's environment without any repercussions in our world, then it opens up all sorts of possibilities in terms of what we could bring to help us with the fight.
I'm afraid I'm not following.
Naomi shook her head.
I think I am. You want us to pick out items that might aid us in battle and then make sure they're around us when we fall asleep.
Exactly. I clapped my hands together and smiled. This way they'll be there in the other plane of existence, and we can use them to fight off Kekawatu, in whatever form he decides to show.
I wonder if we can get Paul to lend us his pistol. That would help us a lot.
I doubt it. I shook my head and laughed. I've got a feeling he's one of those guys who keeps his beloved Desert Eagle strapped to his belt at all times. He'd probably rather die than hand his baby over to somebody else.
I'm struggling to think of what else might be useful in this situation.
The redhead frowned. We have a net, right? I know Ada has one for her outdoor hot tub every winter. It might be big enough to at least cover his body and help hold him in place.
There are many, many knives in the kitchen.
Naomi added.
We should take as many of those as possible so I can use my magic, pick them up, and go full carry on that asshole.
Bottles, too. If we grab a couple bottles of alcohol plus some rags and a lighter...
Molotov cocktails! That's brilliant.
What about one of our Hummers?
What about them?
Well, there were 10 of them in Div's fleet for his bodyguards, right? Why don't we make sure we're in one when we fall asleep, and then we can use that during the fight as well?
I don't think a Hummer is going to stand up to an ancient creature's crocodile jaws, even if they are sturdily built.
They don't have to.
Janine shook her head.
If it has a full tank of gas, and we hit it with one of those Molotovs...
Naomi whistled.
Smile, you son of a bitch.
Exactly!
Janine said with a large grin.
Surely he's not immune to a giant explosion, right?
I don't know. Bass made it clear I was the only one who could actually kill him, though she did say you guys could still do damage to him.
Well, see?
The redhead shrugged.
We blow up one of those vehicles, it blows a giant hole in his face, and then you go in for the final blow once his internal organs are on display. Simple as that.
I doubt it'll be that simple. But I like where your head's at. We should probably start gathering some of this stuff up while we're thinking about it.
I'll go get the knives.
Naomi offered, in a concerningly happy tone, and then she turned and headed for the back of the building. Meanwhile, Janine and I went over to the bar and grabbed a few bottles of our cheapest or half-drunk liquor. We stuffed those in a duffel bag, along with a few rags we pulled out of sanitizer buckets, and then we started searching around for the blowtorch Ada had used in our fight against the Muck Dwellers. There was no sign of it downstairs, so we headed for the second floor of the nightclub to search our living quarters. Eventually, we heard Naomi saunter up the steps behind us, and when I looked over at her, she was levitating about 10 knives in the air with her silver magic. Damn! Do you think that's enough?
I wanted more.
The witch shrugged as she started to move the knives over to our bag.
But I figured that might be overkill.
I unzipped the bag and watched as Naomi lowered the deadly weapons safely down into its possession.
Do you have any idea where Ada keeps the blowtorch?
Janine sighed as she looked through some cabinets on the wall.
It's Ada. I've only been with you guys for a little while, but I know the kind of woman she is. If I had to guess, I'd say it was in the bedroom.
The bedroom?
Janine quirked her head to the side.
Why would she... Oh, I'll be right back.
I know Ada's got some strange fetishes, I said to Naomi as Janine walked to the main bedroom. But I'm not sure if burning herself is one of them. About 5 minutes later, Janine came walking back out to the main room with the blowtorch in her hands.
It was under her side of the bed,
the redhead said with her lips pressed into a thin line.
I don't even want to think about how it's used in other contexts.
Then don't. I shook my head. Just pretend Ada keeps it there in case we get attacked by muck dwellers in the middle of the night.
That's what I'll do then.
Janine shuddered. We opted not to put the torch in the bag, since we didn't want it to be right up against the highly flammable bottles of alcohol. But once we'd gathered up all that we needed in this room, we made our way out to the balcony. I'd met Ada in the late summer, and now it was almost winter, which meant I, sadly, hadn't spent much time in the outside part of the club. We approached a massive sliding glass door about 10 feet wide and 8 feet tall, with a small bedazzled handle on the far right side. I grabbed onto the handle, flicked the lock upward with my thumb, and then gently pulled it open. As I did so, a gust of cold fall air blasted into the building, and a full body shiver ran down my spine as the breeze cut through me like a knife. Then the three of us stepped outside and marveled at the two massive pools of water in front of us. On the left was a frickin' infinity pool that looked out over the beautiful skyline of Cincinnati, or at least, the beautiful skyline that was way off in the distance. Right here in the immediate vicinity of the club, it was kind of a shithole. Then, 20 feet away from the infinity pool was a smaller circular body of water that measured about 50 feet in diameter, and was illuminated by colored LEDs just below the surface.
Do guests actually use these?
Naomi asked, as we walked toward the utility closet on the far right of the rooftop.
Or is this all for us?
Apparently this is the VIP section, aka it's ours unless somebody's willing to pay Ada a fuck ton of money to rent it for the night. We reached the closet, popped it open, and then dug around for the net Ada normally would put over the hot tub to keep the animals out during the winter. It was dual-layered, with plastic on the bottom and mesh netting on the top, but it should work for our purposes. Finally, my fingers brushed past some sort of strange, thin fabric, and I let out an aha as I yanked the folded-up net out of the closet and shoved it into the duffel bag.
There!
Janine said with a smile.
Now we just need to figure out which Hummer we want to take. Preferably one of the older models, just in the off chance it gets destroyed.
Who's getting destroyed?
Ada's voice cooed from the doorway behind us.
Hopefully it's in the hot tub and you let me watch.
One of the Hummers, I explained, as I turned around to see Leah and Ada standing on the threshold of the sliding door with a plastic bag in their hands. We're going to use the environment to our advantage this time. I spent the next few minutes explaining our plan to Ada and Leah, all while we lounged around on the chairs next to the pool. They both agreed we should throw everything plus the kitchen sink at Kekawatu, and they thought going out into the woods somewhere would be the best place to try and even the odds. So, with that in mind, my friends and I gathered up our stuff and headed down to the parking lot. I snagged the keys for the old 2003 Hummer on the way down, and then we all exited the nightclub and got into the bright yellow vehicle. I shoved the keys in the ignition, brought it roaring to life, and then pulled out onto the main road.
Head west,
Janine suggested as we drove.
There are lots of forested hills just outside the city, and that'd be the perfect place to try and drift off to sleep, as well as a place where we could completely control the environment.
I heeded Janine's words and drove west for half an hour, until we finally made it out of the urban part of the region. Once we were surrounded by nothing but hills and trees, I found an exit off the interstate, and I drove out into the middle of fucking nowhere. Eventually, I turned down a gravel side road and then drove down it, until there was literally nothing around us but forest. It was about 2 p.m. at this point, and the sun was bright above the trees as we drove. "Here we are, folks," I announced, as I pulled off the road and parked the Hummer. "The middle of nowhere."
"This really is the boonies,"
Leah shuddered.
"Ugh, fair warning, if I hear banjo music, you guys are all on your own."
"That's Tennessee."
Naomi rolled her eyes.
"It's like you've never even seen the movie."
"What movie?"
the Polywarm asked, and Naomi just scowled. The five of us exited the Hummer before we went around back and grabbed the duffel bag full of weapons out of the hatch. We locked up the car as I slung the bag over my shoulder, while Ada held onto the blowtorch, and Leah had the bag of what I assumed were melatonin gummies. My friends and I walked into the woods, but only far enough so we were off the beaten path, in case somebody drove by. Then I plopped the bag down on the ground and looked around. "All right," I said after a long sigh. "We all know the plan, right? We force ourselves to sleep, and when the Shadow Man brings us into his world, we throw everything we have at him until I somehow get an opening. Then we kill his ass."
"I hope you bought enough melatonin,"
Janine said with a gulp.
"I can already tell my nerves are going to make it very hard to fall asleep. You'll be fine,"
Leah confirmed as she dumped 4 bottles of the gummies out onto the ground.
"I think we have enough here to put a freaking horse to sleep."
"Then we should take them." I nodded. "They'll take a few minutes to actually take effect, but then we'll be out like a light. We need to make sure we're holding the weapons we want to take and that we're all holding onto each other when we pass out." I walked around the area and used my right foot to move a bunch of leaves so we'd have a clean spot to lay down. Then I plopped down onto my ass, pulled my duffel bag over my shoulder, and used it as a makeshift body pillow. It was uncomfortable as fuck, but it's what I needed to do to keep it on me. The 4 women all sat down next to me and snuggled in close before they started to distribute the melatonin.
"How many of these should we take?"
Ada asked, as she inspected the little red morsel.
"I never once in my life thought I'd ever be taking something that would make me sleep. I'm the kind of girl who would pull an all-nighter every single day if I could."
"Maybe like 3? One will usually do the trick eventually, but that might take nearly 30 minutes. If we take a bunch all at once, we'll be knocked out pretty quickly."
Will that cause an overdose?"
"An overdose? On melatonin?
It's a drug!"
the redhead argued.
"First off, it's a naturally occurring hormone,"
the witch mused.
"Second, taking too much melatonin will just mean you're extra groggy and cranky tomorrow. We'll be fine."
"If you say so."
Janine sighed, and then she popped 3 of the little things into her mouth. Leah, Ada, Naomi, and I all followed her lead, and I couldn't help but cringe as I gulped down the overwhelming strawberry flavor of the melatonin gummies. Then I leaned back against the bag and pulled Leah and Ada close to my body as I stared up at the afternoon sky. "And now we wait," I whispered. We didn't have to wait very long. Within 5 minutes of taking the melatonin, I felt my eyes starting to become droopy, and my heart started to slow as it settled down. Finally, my eyelids closed and the world went dark. Then everything went cold. My eyes snapped open, and I could see it was now nighttime, or at least it was the illusion of nighttime.
"Sleeping in the forest!"
A deep, echoing voice taunted from all around us.
"You're even dumber than I thought!"
"Nah, who's the dumbass here that keeps trying to kill a werepanther, even after he's gotten his ass kicked multiple times?"
"Your words mean nothing in my world!"
The Shadow Man's voice trailed off. "Neither does that stupid paralysis spell," I said, as I surrounded myself with black magic and forced my body to change. The hair all over me thickened up into a dark, luscious forest of fur, while my canines grew sharp and my hands and feet widened out into flat paws. My snout stretched outward along with my arms and legs, and soon I found myself in my werepanther form. The second I was changed, I leapt forward and started to look around to make sure our plan was going to work. Sure enough, I could see our Hummer just off in the distance, and the duffel bag was still attached to my back. Now I just needed to break my friends out of the Shadow Man's paralysis spell, and it would be showtime.
"You've done that little trick too many times," the deep voice said. "It stopped being impressive after the first time. And luckily for you, I've got a few more tricks up my sleeve, so come on out here and let's dance." "So eager to die?"
The Shadow Man cackled, and then I saw a figure step through the trees. This time, the Shadow Man appeared as a 6-foot-tall scarecrow-looking beast that reminded me of the Slenderman. His arms and legs looked like toothpicks compared to his torso, and his pale head was completely faceless and hairless. His arms just about dragged on the ground as he walked, but I wasn't about to let this fucker scare me. I had all the power now, and I was about to show him that. I just had to listen to Bast and use my new powers to see this guy for what he really was. So I narrowed my eyes and tried to concentrate. Then I mentally commanded my retinas to look past the illusion and to reveal the Shadow Man's true form. And as I did so, a strange tingling sensation built up behind my eyeballs. Soon a film of bright green dropped down over my eyes, almost like a gel put in front of a theater light, and the world around me was tinted with a haze of emerald green. However, when my vision changed, so did Kekuatu's body. Now, instead of a Slenderman knockoff, I saw the bastard in his true form. His broad, scale-covered shoulders were at least 4 feet wide, and on his hind legs he appeared to be the same height as me. Kekuatu's head was long like a crocodile, with a bulbous, spherical snout and yellow cat-like eyes that sat on either side of his noggin. The fucker's mouth was full of triangular teeth that reminded me of a shark's, and his entire body was covered from head to toe with leathery, moss-colored scales. His hands and feet were humanoid, but a 5-foot-long tail dragged behind him as he walked. I let out a snort and began to click my tongue.
"I see you, Kekuatu. I really, really see you. And I thought it was impossible for you to get any more ugly. I mean, shit, look at that tail! How do you even walk with that thing? And those scales? I bet that's like sleeping on a bed of overcooked bacon every night."
Kakuatu's face fell into a frown, and his yellow eyes grew wide.
You can see me,"
he said with a low, guttural growl.
"That's right, Kekuatu,"
I nodded.
"Which means I can finally cut you open and see if you're really as gutless as I think you are."
"You still have to get to me, werepanther. I will tear you limb from limb before you even get a chance."
It was time to find out which one of us was actually telling the truth. I charged forward with my claws extended, and Kekuatu mirrored my movements. The fucker's jaw opened wide as he prepared to go in for a bite, but I was quick to spin out of the way and slash my claws across his left side. Kekuatu let out a soft grunt as my razor-sharp daggers moved across his scales, but they only seemed to leave small, superficial scratches on his body.
Fuck, this was what Bast had warned me about.
Before the Shadow Man could retaliate, I jumped into the air, lifted my feet to my chest, and then drop-kicked the fucker as hard as I could. A sharp hiss left his mouth as he fell to the ground and tumbled uncontrollably for a few feet, and as I watched him roll, I saw his paralysis spell had been broken on the rest of my friends, because they were now all on their feet and ready to attack. Now it was the time to put our plans into motion. I quickly pulled the duffel bag off my shoulder, unzipped it, and grabbed the knives inside.
"Naomi!"
I commanded, as I tossed them into the sky as hard as I could.
Carry this bitch!
A blast of silver magic lit up the night sky as the pale glow shot up at an angle and wrapped itself around the kitchen blades. Kakuatu got up on all fours as he stared me down, and then he started to scuttle toward me like a frickin' Komodo dragon. His eyes were full of vitriol, and his crocodile mouth was twisted into an insane smile. I was starting to think I liked this guy better when he looked like a fucking Slenderman. The Shadow Man's jaws opened as he charged me, but then Naomi yanked her hands downward. All of the knives in the sky turned so their points were facing the ground, and then they rained down on Kakuatu like hellfire. The knives struck the bastard square in the back as he ran, and he let out a snarl as they knocked him off course and forced him down to the ground. Now was my chance. I dashed forward, sprang up into the air, and took aim at the knives that had lodged themselves into Kekawatu's back. I stomped down on their hilts as hard as I could, and there was a wet squelch as they went even deeper into his flesh. Then I slammed my fists down on two more before the Shadow Man jumped to his feet and bucked me off his back with a violent shake. I landed in a crouched position and then watched as Kakuatu flipped over onto his back and began to do a death roll. There were several metallic snaps as he rolled, and the hilts of the knives flew off in all directions as he flipped back to his feet.
"Not bad," he sneered. "But you're going to have to try harder than that. Much, much harder."
"Oh, shit,"
Janine gulped.
"He's multiplying again."
"What do you guys see?"
I called over to my friends.
"Because I just see him as an oversized walking crocodile."
"He's that tall dude without a face, and now he's becoming multiple tall dudes without faces."
Ah, fuck. This whole "I can see his true form, but they can't" thing was going to make this fight a lot more complicated. He could endlessly hold off my friends with his clones and his parlor tricks, which meant I was the only one who could do any real damage to the fucker. Well, then, I intended to do a lot of fucking damage.
"Ada!"
I asked the succubus.
"Special delivery!"
I reached into the bag, pulled out a bottle of cheap gin, and hurled the thing across the battlefield toward the dark-haired woman, who simply sprouted her wings and flew up into the sky to catch it. However, Kakuatu had other ideas. The crocodile man crouched down and then jumped up like a fucking pouncing tiger, right in front of the bottle's trajectory. He snapped his jaws shut on the gin, which shattered into a million pieces, and splashed its liquid contents all over his face.
"Yum!"
he cackled as he landed back on the ground and licked his lips.
"I'm glad you brought some goodies to the party. It will make the celebration all the more sweet when I finally bathe in your blood."
"Fuck, fuck, 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 fuck!"
Naomi gasped, and then she blasted a shot of silver magic around something I couldn't see. At the same time, Leah's tongue shot out of her mouth and wrapped around something like a fleshy coil. The polywarm woman leapt into the air, made a full arc over the invisible threat, and yanked her head violently the second she was on the ground. Even though I couldn't see what she was fighting, I heard a wet crack, and I assumed she had just snapped its neck.
"We'll have to do this the old-fashioned way,"
Ada announced as she flew toward me.
"I hope you're good at hitting a moving target, Carter."
I quickly snatched another bottle out of the bag and hurled it in the direction of the succubus, but I wasn't able to actually see if she caught it or not. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Kakuatu scuttling toward me, and I only had a half a second to turn around and toss out my hands before his jaws snapped shut on my head. I caught his upper and lower jaws with my paws and let out a grunt as I tried to hold them back. The muscles in my arms screamed and trembled as I held Kakuatu's snout, and it took every single ounce of my strength to keep him at bay. Suddenly, I felt something hard slam into my chest, and I flew backwards as I fell to the ground and then rolled up into a crouch.
"Not so tough when you're actually fighting somebody at your own power level, are you?"
the Shadow Man smirked.
"Now are you going to..."
Before he could finish his sentence, a bottle with a flaming rag slammed into Kekawatu's back and shattered into a massive ball of fire. The flames spread across the Shadow Man's back, and he roared in pain as his scales were singed from the attack.
"You talk way too much,"
Ada said with a snort, and then she lit another bottle.
"Now it's time for you to burn."
Ada tossed the second bottle down onto the crocodilian asshole, and it exploded with another short burst of flames. He fell down onto one knee as the fires engulfed his entire body, and I used the opportunity to pull out the net and prepare to ensnare him in its grasp. I let out a whistle as I tossed a corner of the net up to Ada, who swooped over and grabbed it in a hurry. The flames surrounding the Shadow Man were just starting to peter out, So the succubus turned around, flew downward, and encircled the Shadow Man 3 times until he was good and tied up. The residual embers of the Molotov cocktail went out completely as we wrapped him in the net, and I noticed his scales were now a dark shade of black. We'd burned the fucker for sure. Kekwatu hissed in pain as he struggled to get out of the net, but I wasn't going to let him. I ran toward the fucker, let out a roar, and then started to stab at his underbelly like a pissed-off cat trying to shred a carpet. My claws made several deep cuts into his charred scales, but no blood seemed to come out. Somehow I was still only scratching the surface of this guy's flesh.
Cute!
Kekwatu chuckled.
You really thought this through, didn't you? I'm almost impressed.
I started to punch the Shadow Man in the face repeatedly, which caused him to let out a few angry hisses, as his head whipped back and forth from each blow. But it didn't seem to be doing much good. Kekwatu's jaw opened half an inch, and then bit down on the netting around him, which caused it to snap. The entire snare fell free of his body as the Shadow Man let out a snarl, and then he tried to take a bite out of my skull. I rolled out of the way of the attack, but he was on me in an instant, and I let out a grunt of pain as Kekwatu's full body weight landed on my chest and pinned me to the ground. The stench of rotting flesh hit my nostrils as the Shadow Man's jaws hovered inches above my face, and it took everything in my power not to gag. Instead, I struck first. I threw my head forward, opened my mouth, and bit down on his nose with the force of a hippo. I heard a wet squelch as one of my canines went into his nostril, and Kekwatu yelped as he jumped back and away. When I stood to my feet, I tasted a distinct metallic taste in my mouth. Blood. Kekwatu's blood.
So you can bleed after all,
I said, as I licked the bastard's blood from my teeth. Kekwatu's yellow eyes were filled with rage as he let out a grunt, and then he turned to Janine, Leah, and Naomi.
I'll make you pay for bringing them into this,
Kekwatu warned, before he began to run toward the women who were fighting his Slenderman clones.
Not on my watch, asshole.
I took off at a full sprint, but Kekwatu was just as fast. He was gaining on the girls with the speed of a cheetah, and I didn't know if I was going to be able to reach him in time before he got to my friends. Thankfully, Ada was on the case. Another flaming bottle of booze flew down and smashed against Kekwatu's back, and the crocodilian fucker snarled as he fell to the ground and then rolled around to put out the flames. Even though that didn't do as much damage as I'd hoped, it kept the Shadow Man away from my friends for the time being. I pounced on Kekwatu's back and then sunk my teeth into the back of his neck. I'd watched a nature documentary one time where a jaguar killed a crocodile this exact way, so I figured it was a fitting move to try. But my teeth felt like they hit steel when I bit into the Shadow Man, and they only went down about half an inch. The fucker didn't even make a sound as I tried to rip out his spine with my teeth. Instead, he just continued to do his death roll, and I found myself getting pummeled between the ground and his hefty body. Short bursts of pain shot through my muscles every time I slammed into the hard ground, until I finally let go of Kekwatu and let him roll away.
Ah, shit!
I huffed as I stood to my feet.
What the fuck are you made out of, Kevlar?
Armored scales!
The Shadow Man smirked as he stood to his feet.
Given to me from the body of my master, Kek himself.
You're not the only one who's inherited things from their creator,
I growled as I unsheathed my claws and narrowed my eyes. Even though I was talking a big game, I was running out of options. The women were mostly focused on holding off the Shadow Man's duplicates, and we had tried just about everything we'd planned earlier. Well, everything other than the speedball special and the exploding car. I guess it was time to try out those. In one quick motion, I turned around and started to run toward Naomi.
Coward! I always knew you were a coward! Naomi!
I called out as I approached the witch.
Speedball!
The witch ducked down away from the blow of some invisible entity before she blasted it with a shot of her silver magic. She then looked over at me, nodded, and aimed her spell in my direction. The silver enchantment wrapped around my body like a warm blanket, and I felt weightless as a tingling sensation took over my very being. Then the witch lifted me off the ground and began to spin her body in a clockwise motion. As she did so, my momentum seemed to increase. Every time I came around, I saw Kekwatu was drawing closer, and I knew Naomi would have to release me very, very soon.
Hold tight, Carter!
Naomi shouted, and then she deactivated her spell. The silver light disappeared from around me, and my body was launched forward like I'd been shot out of a cannon. I unsheathed my claws and roared as I flew at Kekuatu, and I reached him in no time flat. I sank my claws and teeth into the fucker's chest, and he roared in pain as he flew backwards, slammed into the ground, and skidded across the forest floor on his back. When I pulled my claws and teeth out of the fucker, I saw a few spurts of blood, and I smiled as I realized the plan was working. Then it all went sideways. Kekuatu's jaw snapped shut on my left shoulder, and I felt a jolt of pain shoot through my side as I heard a wet, sickly crunch. I roared as I slammed my fist into the Shadow Man's head repeatedly, but he was latched on like a fucking vice. Kekuatu began to whip his head back and forth like a dog, and I knew I needed to get out of his grip now. If he caught me in a death roll, I was going to lose my arm. Then I thought back to Janine's words. Go for the soft tissues. I reached up and stabbed my clawed thumbs right into Kekuatu's eyes. There was a disgusting squish as his eyeballs moved back in his skull, and he roared in agony as he jerked his head away. More importantly, he let go of my shoulder. His bottom feet came up and kicked me in the chest, and I was tossed back flat on my ass. Blood oozed out of the fresh wound and trickled down my fur as I tried to stand up, but the world was a bit fuzzy at the moment. Maybe it was time for the grand finale. I shook my head to clear it and turned my attention to the Hummer off in the distance, and then I started toward it as quickly as I could. I could hear the Shadow Man as he scurried after me, and he let out a long, guttural snarl as he ran. I closed the distance on the vehicle in no time at all, and then I stabbed my claws into the spot where the gas tank was located. I pulled away the metal with a few sparks, and gasoline began to pour from the freshly broken tank.
"Smile, you son of a bitch!"
Ada shouted as she flew overhead, and I gave her a nod. Then I picked up the Hummer like it was a child's toy and began to swing it around wildly. Kekuatu, however, didn't stop. He continued to run forward until he finally skidded to a stop just beyond the reach of my makeshift weapon, and when I took another swing at the Shadow Man, he opened his jaws wide and caught the Hummer with his fucking teeth. His fucking teeth! This guy's jaws were stronger than I thought. Still, that didn't matter. Right now I had him where I wanted him, so I instantly let go of the vehicle and booked it as fast as my legs would take me.
"Fire in the hole," I whispered with a smirk.
I heard Ada light another Molotov cocktail, and then I turned around right as it shattered against the side of the Hummer. Instantly, the gasoline on the ground and in the vehicle caught fire, and half a second later the gas tank exploded into a massive ball of flame. The shockwave from the blast knocked Ada out of the sky and knocked all my friends back on their asses, but I was able to dig in and hold my ground against the invisible force. Many of the trees around Kekuatu caught fire and went up like dry kindling, and I really hoped we'd be able to wake up before it spread throughout the whole forest. The Shadow Man disappeared into the fiery blast, and I held my breath as I waited for him to turn to ashes.
"Fuck,"
I panted, as Kekuatu stepped out of the fire with white-hot rage on his face. His scales were completely charred black at this point, and a few small bits of flame flickered on his body. But he was still in one piece.
Fucking hell! If that didn't kill him, what would?
"I told you, Werepanther," Kekuatu said through an evil laugh.
"I'm invincible. Even if you somehow keep evading death, I will haunt your dreams for the rest of eternity. You will never find peace, Carter Hatfield. You'll never be able to sleep without worrying about seeing my face and my jaws. And that is a fate worse than death."
"Fat fucking chance,"
I snarled, as I tried to think of a plan E. This guy had been able to shrug off a full-on explosion at point-blank range, and all it did was lightly damage his scales. He was at least as strong as I was, so trying to simply rip his flesh off with my bare hands wasn't really an option either. The soft flesh of his eyes seemed to be a weak point, but getting in close enough to actually do sustained damage meant I would have to take a frickin' heavy hit myself, and with this guy's deadly jaws, one heavy hit might be enough to put me in the ground.
"Oh, the kids again?"
Janine screamed from across the battlefield.
"Not the fucking creepy children!
It's better than the giant tall faceless dude!"
Leah grunted as her tongue shot around an invisible figure and tossed it into a nearby tree. Janine held her glowing yellow hands toward Naomi, who seemed to pick up a handful of invisible figures with her silver spell. I heard a sickly crunch as the witch closed her hands, and then she tossed whatever she had in her grasp aside. My friends couldn't keep this up forever, either. Even if I was able to keep evading death myself, the Shadow Man was going to start coming for all of my friends, and unless I was right there with them every time they fell asleep, they would be helpless against his attacks. I had to finish this.
"What's the matter, Werepanther?"
Kekuatu taunted, as he slowly walked toward me.
"You've usually got something clever to say. Cat got your tongue." "I'm done talking," I snarled and bared my teeth. "Now, all I'm going to focus on is tearing you limb from limb."
I stomped my front feet into the ground and let out a roar as I prepared to charge. Kekuatu did the same, only he went down on all fours, opened his mouth, and unleashed an inhuman bellow that echoed through the forest. Then we both ran toward each other at full speed, until our massive bodies finally collided. I slammed into the Shadow Man and knocked him to the ground, but he caught me with a haymaker before I could go for his eyes. I roared with pain as my head whipped to the right and my vision blurred, but then I came back around just as he took a bite at me with his deadly jaws. I threw out my paws and caught him before he could close them on me, and then I held his mouth open with all of my strength. That's when I got the idea to King Kong this fucker and snap his lower jaw off with pure brute force. I growled as I tried to force his upper and lower jaws in opposite directions, and Kekuatu began to writhe beneath me in a panic. Then I heard a few snapping sounds as his mouth slowly opened wider than what should have been possible, and he hissed in pain. That was when he used his tail as a frickin' living pogo stick. The fucker pressed his tail to the ground and used the leverage to launch us both into the air, where he quickly grabbed me and held me in place. A wave of pain shot through my body when I slammed into the ground with his full body weight against me, and I roared as I continued to push his jaw in opposite directions. All four of the Shadow Man's legs started to slam into my gut repeatedly in a desperate attempt to force me to let go, but it was no use. It was going to take an act from Kek himself to make me stop. I could see the fucker's disgusting mouth as I tried to snap his jaw, with its slimy, lime-colored spittle, its patches of brown discoloration, and a flapping tongue and uvula at the back. And then I got an idea. A dangerous idea, and an idea that was probably pretty stupid also, but if it worked, it might just finish this fight once and for all. But it was going to hurt. In one swift motion, I let go of Kekuatu's upper jaw, and then rammed my left paw straight into his mouth. I felt his slimy, dirty saliva coating my fur as my arm entered it, and my paw went straight down his throat. The Shadow Man's upper jaw clamped down on my shoulder, and I let out a roar of pain as his teeth dug into my flesh. Still, I wasn't going to let up. I had this fucker right where I wanted him. I unsheathed my claws and dug them right into the soft flesh of his esophagus. Kekuatu let out a pained hiss as he tried to pull away, but that only doomed him further. My claws held tight as I started to tear up his throat from the inside, and he eventually released his hold on my arm. That was his last mistake. The second my arm was free, I dug my claws into his throat and pulled back as hard as I fucking could. The Shadow Man's eyes went wide as he began to gurgle on his own blood, and the flesh of his esophagus finally gave in. My arm snapped out of his mouth in a flash, and it brought the upper half of his throat with it. A red, fleshy tube popped out through Kekuatu's mouth and dangled down helplessly like a broken arm, and all the servant of Kek could do was stare down at his insides, which were now on the outside. My arm was gushing blood at this point, and I couldn't feel it at all, but that didn't matter. I'd just torn Kekuatu's throat out of his fucking body. The Shadow Man began to cough up blood violently now as he tried to shove his throat back into his mouth, but it was no use. His eyes rolled back in his head as he began to choke on his own blood, which now had nowhere to go but outward. Kekuatu took a few steps forward before he wobbled, and then he fell over onto his side and began to twitch as he bled out. My arm was on fire, and I felt like my body had just been hit by a fucking freight train. But it was over. We could finally sleep peacefully again.